Next message.
I am going to get me some sushi. Tuna roll. Salmon roll. Yes, I will build up my La Nina sex craft. I will become the fifth degree Ryudan of Scrooge-Jitsu. And I'll work my nunchucks on the skulls of the dumb fucks. And it will be cool. Give me a shout.
Later.
End of message. To erase this message, press 7. To save it, press 9. Resaved. Next message.
954-321-8252. Confirmed. Working. Payphone. Haitian Swap Shop. That is all.
So no matter what you do, you've got to brush your teeth afterwards.
Oh, then, definitely.
Yeah, and then you're good. Hey, everybody, this is RFA, and I'm Duel. I'm joined by Bland. No! We will save it for the next special. That's right, we'll have a next special. And I'm also joined by Zapperlink. What's up? How you doing, Zapper?
I'm doing actually pretty good.
You're sounding good. I like the new cell phone.
Oh, thanks.
That your old landline sucked ass.
Yeah, well, it was Quest, you know, come on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Pardon these suck-ass comments as well. As long as you brush your teeth, everything's okay. Here's the thing. We've got a lot to cover on this show. A lot to cover. An unbelievable amount to cover. I'm going to start with a couple of emails. I got to thank everybody first for all the emails. I've been getting tons of emails. Thank you very much. I try to get back to everyone. If I forget, if it slips by, please forgive me. Send another one. Don't give up. Thank you for the emails. We've got freak news. We've got some Walmart news. We've got Wi-Fi nuggets. And the biggie at the end, do you want to pimp it, Bland?
Fedora.
We've got a Fedora review for you. And believe me, you want to listen to this before you check it out. And Zapper's in the house. This is great. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
You catch me and tie me down long enough to do an RFA show.
Yeah, well, I like it. I like to tie people down. So let's start with a couple emails. These are actually music related. Yes. The ranting will stay at a minimum, though. This is from Lentium. He's from the old Canadia. If you guys invade, man, I always liked you guys, okay? I always like Canadians. So he's from Canada. He bought an Iron Maiden CD. It had Cactus Data Shield on it. But here's the big thing. On the back, it had, basically MPAA propaganda, right? And he sent me a link to the JPEG. But I tell you what, I'll send you straight to the site. It's called keepmusiccoming.com. Again, keepmusiccoming.com. It's a very, very disturbing site. Go there, and you won't know what to think. It's so strange. It's so out there. It's like those, if you listen to the H2K2 panels, Jello Biafra 3, right? Jello 3, he plays those you know, those LPs, I guess, the musicals, the corporate musicals. It's like that. It's very, very odd. You will be disturbed. I guarantee it. So thank you, Lentium, and definitely go to keepmusiccoming.com. Next, this one's great. This is from Kizzle. You know Kizzle from the 944 Project, the944project.com. He listened to the last RFA. I'm going to read this. This one's pretty short, so I'm going to read it. I just listened to RFA 88, and you mentioned you wanted to try out iTunes for Windows. Make sure... I'm sorry, it's not funny, Kizzle, but man, this just sucks. Make sure you do not tell iTunes where your music folder is without first turning off the auto organization feature. It took my folder with over 200 CDs and spread the MP3s into a bunch of different folders based on their ID3 tags. Isn't that terrible?
Sorry, dude.
Yes, man, Kizzle, bro. We're with you, man. Okay, check this out. For example, one CD might be split into five folders because some of the songs featured other artists or were misspelled. All of my subdirectories were CD rips, so you'd think that iTunes would leave them alone. Such is not the case. I used to have about 200 folders now. It's closer to 450 after this evil piece of software. It is going to take a couple of hours to at least to clean this up. So in short, fuck you, iTunes. Kizzle, that was a great email. Thank you. Yeah, straight up. Thank you very much for letting myself and everybody else know what iTunes will do. I still want to try it out. I've yet to. So in short, this is Sam, not me, by the way. So in short, F you, iTunes. Great email. That really sucks. I'm not. We're with you. I mean, we feel you. But it is kind of amusing.
Napster.
What's that?
Use Napster.
You really like that, don't you?
Oh, I'm loving it, man.
That's cool. That's very cool.
If there's one way to do it legally, and I feel bad for the old Napster, but if there's one way to do it legally, I would rather do Napster than iTunes.
Huh. Now, have you used iTunes?
Once.
What? Once?
Yeah.
Yeah? What? Okay, I'm not even going to ask. We'll just leave it at that. He's used both, everybody. We'll just leave it right there. I'm looking for... Hold on. I'm like semi-prepared. I've got, check this out. Unlike Stank, right, who types up a, you know, multi-page document for his show notes. I was supposed to be on his show this week, but he never called me. Did he call you, Bland?
No one called me.
Huh. I guess he did it on his own or found somebody else. So I hope to be on his show again soon because I it's really fun. It's a lot of fun. But I'm prepared this week. I've got three sections here, right? I've got freak news, Walmart Wire, which is probably copyrighted, and Wi-Fi Nuggets. I got all my show notes on half a piece of notepad paper, right? All neatly written out, though, and I got three piles of papers that I'm going to refer to. So let's start it right now. Oh, no! No! Son of a bitch. Yeah, it's freaking... Hold on, let's see. Son of a... Bitch, a battery died. What a bunch of crap. Alright, hold on. Let me... we're screwed. No. Oh, no! I'm going to lose my tones. Oh, or maybe I don't know. Will I?
In memory, so I don't think you would lose it.
Yeah, I'm hoping not. I'm hoping it's non-volatile. You know what? I'm going to look. Hold on. Right now. Double A's. I've got a triple A. All right. Hackers always have batteries. Here's mine. Those are my batteries.
Environmentally friendly batteries.
Yeah, no. No, they're not. But that's okay. All right. Batteries in the... Oh, good. It is non-volatile memory. I wonder if you... I guess... Huh. Here we go. I feel much better now. Freak news. LNP, man, local number portability, big, big thing in the news now. Everybody's, in fact, it's so big, we've covered this in the past, right? The wireless local number portability, we've talked about it a lot. You've heard it on Off the Hook. Right now, I'm more interested in, I want to cover the coverage. this is such... Is this really that big a story? Is it really that big of a deal? I mean, are people just that amazed? I mean, of course it is. It's quite an undertaking for the telcos. There's no doubt about it. But people really want to keep their number that bad? I know I've talked about this in the past. You know how I feel. I could give a rat's ass if I have the same number 2 weeks in a row. I changed my number for fun, for crying out loud. I think it's exciting to have a new number. Plus, you give it to who you want to give it to, okay? You know, that's the thing. People bitch about the telemarketing calls, but they want to keep that same number so bad that they've had for 10 years. Change your damn number. Maybe you won't get so many calls. So let's cover the coverage a little bit. Let's start with... I just whacked the mic.
Yeah, even I heard that.
Oh, crap. All right, now I got to readjust it here. All right. Jiminy Christmas. Look at the words I say now because we can't swear on the show. Gosh dang it.
I just try not to talk as much.
Yeah, I just... statistically, you won't swear as much if there are fewer words spoken. Same here, bro. Let's start with the FCC official press release. How about that? Washington, D.C., the Federal Communications Commission today reaffirmed that wireline carriers must port numbers to wireless carriers under its current rules. The order provides guidance to the wireless and wireline industries on issues related to intermodal local number portability, i.e., in other words, the ability of customers to switch from a wireline carrier to a wireless carrier or from a wireless to a wireline carrier without changing telephone numbers. Blah, 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 blah. So that's that, yeah, big deal. Get this. My local paper has just been, it's been heaven for freak news. In the Sunday Business and Money... Take it with you. Starting November 24th, you can switch cell services and keep your phone number. And it's got, of course, the... what is it? What the hell is she wearing? Oh, they must be scrubs. So they got the woman in her scrubs in the mall talking on her cell phone. Christy, who works at some mall, has found both advantages and disadvantages to different cell phone plans. I don't know what the hell that has to do with local number portability. But, even my local paper covered this change, this vote. Not only my paper, but my pager, for crying out loud. Is this that big a story that it's on my pager? Apparently so. Seriously, guys, am I wrong? Is it weird? I mean, I don't know. Do people even know or care?
I think people care because a lot of people, when they get rid of their cell phone or they get pissed off at like Verizon or AT&T, they're like, well, now I have to go tell everybody and their mother. Or let's say, in my example, my business number is a cell phone number. So say I've given out so many business cards to everybody and then I finally want to switch to like a landline, I can have that opportunity now to keep the same number and not have to go back and track down every person I gave a business card to.
Okay, now that I could definitely see. There's a definite reason right there. Businesses, I can understand that. But you know what? I don't think that's going to be that prevalent because I think most businesses are going to have a landline and they'll keep that and they'll stick with that for quite a while. You know, maybe that's changing. I mean, maybe people are, you know, even businesses, smaller businesses, you know, single man jobs are going to go to just a cell phone and they'll switch back and forth. I don't know. But your average Joe, I mean, come on, man. What the hell do they need portability for? I mean, I guess you could ditch your phone altogether. I guess you could ditch your phone altogether, go to wireless, ditch your landline, right? Ditch your POTS, go to wireless, and keep the same number. So, yeah, I guess there are reasons, but I... Personally, all right, so that's just me, then. I'm just a freak. I'm just a weirdo. I could give a rat's ass. Change my number, that's fine. I think it's dumb, personally. I think it's another bone, man. It's another bone thrown to people.
You're taxed for it. I mean, the state of Arizona, if you have a cell phone, you're taxed 3 times by the state.
Now, whoa. Taxed by the state for local number portability?
Not for just in general. I mean, first you're taxed by, well, everybody knows where I live, but first you're taxed by Phoenix, then you're taxed by the state of Arizona, and then you're taxed by the United States. So you're taxed three times just for owning a cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you've got federal taxes on your landline as well, and I'm sure they're charging people for the local number portability, you know, somehow. You know, you heard about that on Off the Hook and how much money they're going to be raking in from the local number portability. You know what? I think the coverage is silly. I think it's a bone. I think it's, you know, I think it's just distracting people from what's really going on in the world, because I could give a rat's ass about whether, you know, I change my number or not. And damn it, I'm right, because it's my opinion. I'm kidding, by the way.
How big, I mean, apart from, like Zapper was saying, about how you need to, you know, if you give your business card out to 400,000 people whose contact information you might not get. I mean, you might just, you know, pass that business card, you know, if you put your, you know, let's say you had a home business and you printed out flyers and you stuck them under people's windshield wipers at Walmart or whatever. And you all of a sudden, you know, something went down and your phone crapped out, or something happened and you needed to get, you know, like a landline, and, you know, or, you know, just whatever, for whatever reason, you had to change your number, or you had to change phones, and you wanted to keep the same number, then that's cool. But as for me, I don't know. It's just, for me, a new phone number is like moving into a new house, you know?
Yeah.
It keeps your life fresh. I don't know. It's just me. Of course, I'm kind of a weirdo, too.
I agree with you. You know, there are definitely valid, you know, examples of having the capability to keep your number and switch carriers, but honestly, I think people are lazy, straight up. I think just people are lazy. That's the whole reason. Oh, yeah, I'd love that, because it would save me some hassle, save me a little trouble. You're a dumbass. Have some adventure in your life, for crying out loud.
So, you know, it's not that. I mean,
I think it is.
For the people who would really benefit from it, hey, that's great that you can do that. It's cool that we can do that. It's not entirely necessary, and it's not necessary for me or for you or for, you know, most everybody else. But for some people, you know, like Zapper, you know, that would be a good thing.
Right.
For some people that, you know, a lot of people, you know, trying to get grandma to remember your new number. You know what I mean? It was probably hard enough to get grandma to remember your old number. So if you can keep the same number and keep everything on your end, all the change on your end, and then leave everything external, you know, all the external systems, leave them as they are. You know, so you don't have to send a letter to everybody. Or for, you know, I mean, God forbid you have to call everyone in your family, just if nothing else, to tell them you got a new phone number.
Yeah,
right?
You know?
I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's not, I mean, frankly, it's almost a waste to have talked about it for this long.
You're right. You're so right, dude. You're so right. Let's. Well, you know what?
You know what? It's great. If you want it, great. If not, fuck it. You know what I mean? Just use it or don't. Who cares?
Yeah, you're right. You're so right. I still say people are lazy, though.
I'm talking on Bland. He said fuck it.
Oh! Busted! I didn't even. That totally slipped by me.
All right, stop recording. We're going to have to redo the whole show.
Okay, let's go. We're stopping. You know what, we got to, you know what, we're going to talk, I got one more email, actually, about LNP, and this is from Jaga, and it's actually really funny. Duel, this is a good article, he sent a link to an article about LNP. This is a good article detailing the new stand the FCC has finally taken. I'm sure you already knew about this, but all I have to say is, what a shit burger for the telcos. Straight up, it is. That's very funny, Jaga. They are crying that this will cause a max exodus. I'm sorry, mass exit to wireless because of toll calls that are charged on wire lines. Well, then quit fucking overcharging us. Now, that was Jaga, not me. And then he goes on to say, I think this is going to drop the cost of local service over the long run. So that's good, and he's probably right. That definitely may happen. Maybe Bell South will even quit charging $4 a month for Touchtone. I had no idea that still existed.
Oh,
that's crazy. Well, thank you, Jaga. Thank you for the great email. And that's enough for LNP. We're done. No more. Let's move on now. I'm going to do Walmart Wire. And that's, I probably shouldn't say that, because that's actually the name of their junk email newsletter, right? Their spam, Walmart and Wire, and they send crap to you. It's funny, right after we started doing PWF, I started receiving that, oddly enough, and I'm glad. I mean, it's first of all, I thought it was hilarious. Hilarious. And it's kind of, it's very interesting, you know, to see that. I haven't been in Walmart in a long time. Well, no, I shouldn't say I haven't shopped, bought anything from Walmart in a long time. I have, well, we'll get to the other part in a second. So let's go to the first story, which is, oh crap, my pile's right over here. Hold on. Oh, all right. Good thing my arms are abnormally long.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Much like a monkey. Well, dude, I'm trying to record the show, right? And like a dumbass, I set up all my notes in like nice neat piles, so I know where they are, and I, you know, can just grab them. But they're way on the other side of the lap. But thankfully. You know, like your wingspan, right? Fingertip to fingertip, supposed to be your height, right?
Yeah.
Mine's like 3 inches longer. My arms are like really just. I'm a freak of nature, essentially. Very long appendages. Okay.
Well, except for one.
Especially one. That's what you're supposed to say. Okay, yes, Walmart. Illegal immigrants arrested in... You've seen me in underwear, for crying out loud.
That's true.
Illegal immigrants arrested in Walmart raid. File suit. Check this out. The illegals legal battle. I made that up, by the way. Freehold, New Jersey. 9 illegal immigrants who worked as janitors at Walmart until they were arrested during federal raids last month have sued the company, accusing it of discriminating against them. The Mexican immigrants who worked as janitors also accused Walmart and its cleaning contractors of failing to pay overtime, withhold taxes, and make required workers' compensation contributions. The plaintiffs, who faced deportation, were among 250 people arrested in an October 23rd raid on 60 Walmart stores in 21 states. Good pub. The lawsuit filed Wednesday in Superior Court in Freehold is the first from immigrants arrested in the raid. According to the lawsuit, Walmart employee cleaning contractors, quote, with full knowledge, I'm sorry, Walmart employed cleaning contractors, quote, with full knowledge, that they paid illegal immigrants less than legal workers. No. The lawsuit says managers at Walmart stores in Old Bridge and, check this name out, Piscataway, knew the 9 plaintiffs were illegal immigrants. Quote, Walmart must have known about these violations, the immigrant's lawyer Gilberto Garcia told the New York Times. If these people are going to work at Walmart, then Walmart and his contractors should abide by the labor laws. Now, there's a whole, you know, beside Walmart being slimy and I'm sure knowing about it and, you know, doing whatever they can to save a buck, right? Can illegal immigrants who are going to be deported sue somebody?
Sure.
Apparently so. Where was I? Aha! Mona Williams, Vice President of Walmart for Communications, said, and no doubt, I mean, if they're, well, I don't know. I'm no lawyer.
Question, though.
What is it?
If it's an illegal immigrant, do they still get United States rights? I mean, technically, they aren't citizens, so if a non-citizen is to come in, do they still get the same rights? I mean, we don't even give our criminals the same rights.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, it's, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to pretend that I know anything about law. To say that, yeah, they can do this or they can't, obviously they can, right? Because they're suing. They got some lawyer to do it, right? Some ambulance chaser talked them into it, and probably not very difficult. There's a lot of money sitting there. I don't think they're going to go very far. I think Walmart's got their own troubles, but that was my first question. Can they do that? Apparently they can. Have you guys heard anything like this before? I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of precedent.
Sure.
Oh, you've heard about it before?
Yeah, an American organization suing a Russian writer.
Oh!
Someone said something about the DNC.
Oh, yeah, wow. Whoa, that's a perfect example. Yeah, so, hey, more power to him, man. Definitely more power to him. Mona Williams, Vice President of Walmart for Communications, said the company did not know about the labor violations of which contractors are accused or that they used illegal immigrants. She said Walmart has long insisted that its contractors obey the law. I insist that you obey the law. Clearly, hungry lawyers are converging on these illegal immigrants as if they were accident victims, William said. We have seen absolutely no evidence showing that Walmart did anything wrong. Yeah, well, we'll see. Oh, yeah, check this out then. She acknowledged that Walmart has received a letter from federal prosecutors warning that it faces a grand jury investigation into illegal immigrants employed at its stores. Uh-huh. No evidence. Well, the feds got something done, don't they? The plaintiff said they worked at least 56 hours a week and were not paid time and a half or overtime hours, those over 40 a week. They say they were paid between $350 to $500 a week. They have asked Walmart and its contractors for more than $200,000 in back pay that they say they are owed for overtime. And if anybody didn't know, the raid led to arrests in Alabama. Check this out. Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Connecticut, Delaware, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and West Virginia. That's right. So, yeah, we talked about that on a previous show, and apparently they're going back on Walmart. And, yeah, then definitely from Bland's example, good to them. Good on them, man, straight up. There's another big deal that Walmart, from what I hear, is causing. There's a huge strike. Actually, C4 brought this up, and then I heard more about it on public radio. I still know very little about it. Apparently, there's a large supermarket workers' strike in California. I believe it's been going on for a month. And basically, all the stores have to, you know, cut costs. And where are they going to cut costs? You know, wages, benefits, things like that. And the workers aren't happy and they've been on strike. Why do they have to cut costs, though? Because Walmart has been opening stores up like crazy. What did I hear? Man, I wish I had a recording of the NPR program. I don't know the exact numbers, but basically, they have to cut costs to compete with Walmart. So, if you want to go to a store that's not as crowded, nicer, cleaner, more personal service, right? Good selection, fresh, whatever you want to buy, tough. Because they're on strike because Walmart is just driving prices down. And I can't stand going to Walmart to grocery shop, let alone going there for anything else. It's a circus. It's a zoo. You know? It's absurd. Why would you even want to go there? You know, have some freaking dignity. Have some self-respect. And go somewhere civilized, for crying out loud. You know, sure, you can save a penny here or there, you know, maybe. I really don't know if you save that much money. I guess you do. I don't know. I'd have to comparison shop or something, but that's another real big story that's going on with Walmart. I kind of alluded to something when we started the Walmart Wire, and that is that I actually, yes, I've been inside a Walmart store. Forgive me. Recently, this weekend, in fact. Why was I there?
For a good cause.
For a very good cause. That's right. PWF, baby. But I'll give you a little bit right here. We've talked about interstore calling. And lots of the big corporations in their crappy stores have interstore calling, right? The 700 exchange. And Walmart is no different. So I walked into this Walmart. I went in through the nursery entrance, right? It wasn't as crowded, right? It wasn't such a circus. Started walking through the store. And if you've been in a Walmart, you know that there are phones hanging on the columns throughout the store. Mostly they're the larger phones with extension buttons, right? DTMF pad, Lucent Avaya phones. And I rolled up on one, and it was actually a 2554, right? The little hanger with just the DTMF pad, right? 2554 model phone. It was perfect, right? It was perfect place in the store. It was an aisle that wasn't frequented. I could just stand right behind the big column, pretty much covered on all sides. Didn't have to worry about too much. And I started playing with the phone. You know, since there were no line buttons, no extension buttons, I didn't quite know how to grab a line, although it was very simple, right? I found out you just hit 9 and you get a dial tone. So there I was at a dial tone. I just tried to get a local number, and, of course, it gave me a reorder. But that wasn't my goal. My goal was Interstore Calling.
Yeehaw!
Yes, and Bland, what is the number for Interstore Calling?
It's 1-700-701, then the store number.
Then the store number. If the store number is less than 1,000, then it's zero. You pad it with zeros, essentially.
That's the beginning.
Yes, so what did I do? I called. Let me step back here. Picked it up, 9, dial tone, 1-700-701. What the hell? 1-2-3-4. It rang, Walmart, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't understand the woman who answered. But she said, I did hear Walmart, and then some other words with a southern accent. And I apparently had called a Walmart in Kentucky. Yes, and I said, no kidding. Thank you very much. And then she said something else I couldn't understand and hung up. Then I said, you know, I want to call store number one. I think DJ Mollusk might be familiar with store number one. That's right, store number one in Rogers, Arkansas. Right? Isn't Sam buried there?
When I went and defiled his grave, I can't remember where it was.
Yes! So I called store one, 1-700-701-0001. And a woman answered. Thankfully, I could understand every word she said. She spoke clearly, succinctly, and not slowly, but not so fast that I couldn't understand her. So it was much more pleasant talking to her. And I said, hi. And I said, hey, is this store number one, the number one store? She said, yep, store number one in Rogers, Arkansas. I said, no kidding. She said, yep. And I said, hey, thanks a lot. And that was it. You know, I didn't know what else to do, so. That was fun. You, too, can do some Project Walmart Freedom goodness for your community by going to Walmart and not spending money. No. No, no, no. Do not spend any money. Spend their money. By calling a store that you would like to talk to. If you wanna hear a New Jersey accent, call a store in New Jersey. Go to their store finder on the web, get a store number, and go call it. Better yet, and I think we've discussed this as well, I've yet to try it, but I think Bland and I will probably try this, arrange a meeting, a telephonic meeting with a friend in Walmart. That's right. Go to your Walmart, have your friend go at the same time, remember, adjust for time zones, and then dial the number of the store. Get on the page. You know what? And make up some story. Yeah, my gay lover's there picking up something, and I got to make sure he gets the right Vaseline. Whatever. And have him page that person. Use a fake name, whatever. And see if you can get that person on the phone. Try it. I think you might be surprised.
I don't know. Maybe Bland will know this, and I got to head out soon, so that's why.
Okay.
I'm closing note. I don't know if Bland knows this or what, but I don't know if Walmart has an extension on each one of those phones. I know Target has an extension on each one of those phones on those posts. What you can do is enter store calling and then find a random phone, tell your friend, hey, you call in and ask to be transferred to extension 213. 213 and Target is the third one next to the pet food.
Ooh, that's an even better idea. Yeah, just give me this extension, then you just be sitting at it.
And bam, you got long distance free calling.
Yeah, straight up. Genius idea. You have to go?
Yeah, I unfortunately have to head out of range, so.
Okay, yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you for being on the show.
No problem, and I don't necessarily agree with the fedora, but.
Listen to the show. You can listen to the fedora review.
Oh, I definitely will. I always listen to the show. Even if I'm on it, I still listen to it.
Do you really? Right on. All right, Zapper. Thanks a lot, man. Later.
Okay, so about the like extension list, it's the same as the department number, with a one in front of it. So like electronics is department 5, so the electronics phone is 105.
Oh, very nice. And you can see, actually, we've got go to Project Walmart Freedom, and there's like, is there two or three extension lists there?
Yeah, there's two or three.
Yeah, and they're pretty homogenous. You know, they're pretty much the same wherever you go. I started collecting some in a store here, and I came back and I started referencing PWF, and guess what? They were the same. They were exactly the same, so I didn't even bother. So there you go.
And also, it's actually not best to do that because the service desk, which is where customers are really expected to take phone calls, first of all, you're not going to raise any suspicion if you say, hey, I got a call on apparently line 3, and they'll just go, okay, well, here you go, have a nice day. But if you walk up to, you know, like the freaking hardware paint mixer phone thingy, you're like, hey, I got a call, can I get it here? They'll be like, nah, you'll probably need to go to the service desk. Because those phones are, you know, near like the outlying cash registers and stuff like that, just places they don't want you dicking around.
Gotcha.
So, you know, if you and I were going to do it, we would probably be talking on the cell phones until like I got into Walmart and you got into Walmart, and then you would walk up to the service desk and say, hey, can I use your phone? I just got to make a little call real quick. And they'll be like, okay. And you just pick it up, grab a line, and then dial 700-701, the store number that I'm in, and then you'll just ask them for Bland Inquisitor. And they'll say, hey, this is customer page for Bland Inquisitor. You get a call on line 3. You can take a call to the service desk. And I'll walk up to the service desk and be like, hey, I got a call on line 3. They'll go, okay, sweet. And they'll pick it up and give it to me.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's really better to do everything. And plus, there are customers always around the service desk, like, you know, people bitching about returns, and they bought a TV 14 years ago, and it crapped out on them, and they want their money back. So your conversation will be, you know, you'll fit nicely into the cacophony that's around there anyway. So it's just, yeah, that's probably a better way to do it.
Yeah, props for cacophony, man. That's a good word.
Oh, thank you.
And, yeah, you'll basically be alone in the crowd.
Exactly.
You know, head straight for the frickin', head straight for the service center like you're expecting it. They won't frickin' know any different.
And plus, there's a water fountain there, there's some payphones, you can grab some numbers, send them to PWF.
Yeah, have a little fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of PWF, as we have been, I am going to make, I've got a lot of info, people have been sending a lot of stuff, I'm going to make a concerted effort this weekend to work on PWF and get it updated. I also have a lot of photos, and here's I've got an idea, and I'm going to actually ask you, Bland, on the air if this is a good idea. You know, Stank's got some nice galleries going on. I'm not expecting him to make a PWF gallery, you know, its own, but at least have somebody make a folder in there with Project Walmart Freedom, and then they can update it at will.
Oh, yeah, he'll do it.
You think so?
I think Hack and Slash is officially, unofficially overseeing the gallery.
Then I'm going to send him the pictures that I have, and either make an entire gallery or at least a folder so people can view the photos we've got and update it when they get new ones. And I think PWF is going to grow immensely in about a week. You know, in 1 week, it'll have its second coming. So keep your eyes out for PWF. And somebody, you know what? Somebody sent me an email asking if they could, you know, I don't know what they said, join or help or, you know, contribute. And, you know, of course, I replied and said, of course, anybody can. You know, even one payphone number will help out. So please, you know, feel free. You send me, you know, one payphone number, and you'll get your name up there, and you'll be helping. This is a good project, and we've got a lot of good stuff in store. So keep checking back for the old PWF.
And while you're in Walmart, while you're testing around making your 700 calls, leave the poor woman in Michigan alone. And the poor woman in Michigan I'm talking about is the lady who answers the phone at store number 1337.
Yeah, easy on her, man. She's nice.
It was the first one I did.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, what is your number, right?
Yeah.
1337. Thank you for calling the Walmart.
That's what it was like, man. I couldn't understand a word that girl in Kentucky was saying.
I was like,
You sound pretty.
Yeah, it's like, you want to wrestle?
Yeah, I think they like wrestling up there in Michigan.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so check that out. PWF and 700 calling. It's a lot of fun. Actually, it was a lot of fun. Just go in there and, you know, if your significant other drags you in there, right, you're bored out your ass while she's looking at her curling irons, find a phone, man. Dial that shit up. Have some fun. Have some fun. Let's, man, we better move on, man. That was the Walmart Wire. Now, some Wi-Fi nuggets. Actually, I'm going to make this. I probably should make this. Well, I think we're doing okay. No, we're not doing okay. I'll make this quick, man. We got Blue Jack. I saw this on Slashdot. It's about blue jacking. The site is Blue Jack with a Q, BlueJackQ.com. And I think this is hacking. I mean, to quote RMS, it's playful cleverness, right? And what bluejacking is, essentially, is you take your Bluetooth-enabled phone, you find another phone, and send that phone a message and get some reactions, see what people do, right? Have a little fun. Have some fun with technology, you know? You never know. Dude, I think it'd be a blast. I do not have a Bluetooth-enabled phone. I have other Bluetooth-enabled devices. We'll talk about that shortly. I think it's totally cool. I mean, how... you know, you could totally surprise somebody, you know? You know, tell a girl she's hot, or, you know, tell a guy, you know, he's got a nice shirt on, or, you know, just have fun. I think it's cool. So check that out, bluejackwithaq.com. I've got a little more Bluetooth. There we go. Boy, I got a couple of things here. Save that to the end. Your PDA is going to have Bluetooth or Wi-Fi?
It's going to have Wi-Fi.
Okay, but you're definitely going to get Bluetooth, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to get the expansion slot's SD, and so I'm going to get a Bluetooth SD card.
Cool, very cool. I've got my PDA's got Bluetooth, integrated Bluetooth, I should say. I also have the little USB Bluetooth device. I'm thinking about getting another one and making my own little PAN in my lab, you know, a personal area network, and having three Bluetooth devices talk to each other and see if I can send files and have a little fun, see what I can do with three devices.
That would be cool.
What's that?
Now, those things have MAC addresses, right?
Yes.
Okay, here's what I thought would be awesome. Would be to integrate Bluetooth into a doorbell.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna dig this. And so I've got my Bluetooth-enabled, you know, PDA, cell phone, whatever, and I stand on your front porch. Don't even have to hit the doorbell. It catches, reads the MAC address, and you hear, boom, lands at the door.
Yeah, and that's a great idea. That's, you know what, and that, those ideas like that are exactly what Bluetooth is for. It's yet to be fully realized. You know, I think as long as people keep thinking like that, like you, Bland, you know, thinking of these new great ideas, these new uses for Bluetooth, then I think it'll continue to thrive. Now, I just recently I read an article about the death of Bluetooth. Some guy wrote, Bluetooth, it's dead, it's not used. You know, what you got? You got wife, you got headsets, and your phones, big deal. And then I hear ideas like yours, Bland. Gives me hope. And I also read something like this. Bluetooth product shipments surpass 1 million units per week. Yes, that's right, from the Bluetooth Special Interest Group. They sent out a press release that says just that. 1 million units per week. You know, and maybe it's just me because I've been messing with Bluetooth lately. But it seems like it's just more prevalent. You know, all right, I'm guilty. I look at, like, the CompUSA ads. You know, the CompUSA ads, Bluetooth is everywhere. Wireless phones, Bluetooth. You know, I think, I don't want to say a renaissance, but I think if it was on its way out, if it was, right, if Bluetooth was on its last legs, that it's coming back, I think it's strong. I really do. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's just going to take unique ideas like the doorbell, right, and inexpensive implementations of such to catapult it into everyday use. Yeah, I would love, you know, like I said, I want to build my own little PAN, right, my own little personal area network. So I walk in and my PDA will automatically sync to my PC, or. You know what'd be cool is if you had, let's say you were in your house and you've got a cell phone with Bluetooth, and you've got caller ID on your landline if you have a landline, or maybe a standalone caller ID box for this idea. If your cell phone rings and it sends the caller ID to some box throughout your house, or maybe, like you said, for your doorbell, some voice-activated system, or I should say a voice-synthesized system, that'll tell you who's calling your cell phone all through Bluetooth. You know, I think that'd be useful. Very useful.
Definitely.
Quite enjoyable as well. I would love some hot, sexy voice to say, you know, Bland is calling, you know, some hot woman, you know, like Charo's voice or something. You know.
Yeah.
Hot babe. Okay, so that's Bluetooth. And I have been messing with Bluetooth. In fact, I put a little ghetto code up, right, for war driving with Bluetooth. If you get, now I've got a blend that I went to Fry's when we were in Dallas. Where'd it go? Here it is. Still in the bubble wrap. I kept the bubble wrap. Didn't pop it, actually. I got a little Belkin USB Bluetooth device, little USB adapter, and just started playing with it in Linux. It's, you know, it's really easy to set up in Linux, so I went ahead and set up a little, wrote a little Perl script where you can stick this in and basically ghetto drive for some Bluetooth. So check that out. That's it's called Ghetto Tooth, aptly named. It's on Old School Freak. Check that out. Finally, in the Wi-Fi nuggets, before we get to, wow, we got to get going. Sorry, Bland. Well, I promise you'll get whatever time you need, because Fedora is big, baby.
We can cut it this week if you want.
No, this is big, and it's timely. It's very timely. People get a bonus, man. I think people like the longer shows.
Hmm.
In fact, I know they do.
Oh, I like the longer shows.
Yeah, me too, straight up. I mean, more alternative media, the better. Finally, and I'm going to make this one really quick. This is off a bug track. Default web keys on Symbol PDT-8100s. They're basically little pocket PCs and barcode scanners, you know, little computers, right? Little retail computers with wireless capabilities. And apparently, during the install, you get a chance to change the default web keys. If you don't, they stay and any user can grab them. So I thought that's fairly interesting. And is that just not one of the biggest problems with Wi-Fi, and that's default everything, default passwords, configurations,
SSID,
everything. That's a big problem. So it extends into the retail networks. That's the Wi-Fi nuggets, and now onto the big stuff, and that is Fedora. Now, give everybody a little background on what happened. Just, I know we talked about it in the past, but just quickly refresh everybody's memory.
All right, what happened is Red Hat decided to drop its end-user boxed distros, or even any distro for that matter. They're going straight on Enterprise, which is where the money's at, and no one can talk badly about them for wanting to make money. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing inherently evil about making money, especially if you are helping to get rid of this bothersome Microsoft thing.
Pesky, I like to call them.
Yeah, those pesky little people up in Redmond. So what happened was Fedora, or Red Hat, farmed out pretty much their core to the Fedora project. And Fedora project took it over, and they're working with some of the old Red Hat developers, and they're really giving it back to the community, which is cool. The idea is actually really good, because not only does it give it back to the community a little bit, it also returns a little bit of street cred to running Red Hat. So now I don't have to hear about my kiddie distro that I love so much.
Red Hat 9's best distro ever.
Best distro ever. There is no better Linux distro than Red Hat 9. Straight up. There probably never will be. It's just that damn good. So I tried Fedora. Fedora released its core number one, called Yarrow. They released the core, I think it was about a week ago, and I decided that I would rebuild. I was like, you know what? Based on Red Hat 9, you're starting off real solid. So, I download the ISOs, burn them, kill my box, and resurrect it with Red Hat Fedora Core 1. And there's some things about it that are different. You know, some things about it are actually, the installer, it's the same Anaconda They've run for years. And let me go ahead and clear this up for everybody. There's no difference between installing Red Hat and installing Slackware. No difference. You get to choose your packages the same. The only difference is one is in curses and shows you individual packages. The other has a picture of a scroll bar and, you know, like a progress meter. It's the only difference.
Straight up.
So you can't say you like your curses-based install because your curses-based install isn't anything special. So anyway, I digress. After the install, you know, you do the first boot, and you go through and you get to tweak some stuff, and when you're booting it up, it actually gives you the option to show or hide the boot sequence details. It gives you an actual progress bar as you're booting up. It says now booting Fedora Core 1. And it's a little, you know, and it'll say at the top in small writing what it's actually doing. It'll be like, you know, bringing up PCMCIA, doing this, doing that. And as it does all that, you know, your progress meter builds up to about, you know, it's about halfway, and then it goes back into a, goes back to the black and white boot screen that you're used to with Red Hat. So, does all that, boots up, looks good. It comes with some programs that I'm not accustomed to seeing. There's some stuff that probably, you know, I think you said what probably happened was one of the Red Hat developers wrote a program and Red Hat never put it in a release, and so he gave it to Fedora so that they could have it, and so it would at least get out to the community somehow, which is probably pretty accurate for some of this stuff. You know, loads it up, looks good, feels good. It looks like Red Hat. It feels like Red Hat, kind of. It is not Red Hat. Red Hat packages do not work with it. If you try to use a Red Hat 9 RPM, no dice.
Really?
That will not do it.
Huh.
So, it's good for a first try. It's a good first try. It is still, I mean, it's an infant distro. I mean, it's like starting all over again.
Wow.
Like, this would be like going to Evil Entity. Because it's a baby distro. So you don't, just because it says Red Hat on the label doesn't mean that you get all that comes with Red Hat. I mean, you're going to have to cut up some slack in some places. You're going to have to give it a little leeway. The fact that nothing freaking compiles on it, because, you know, a lot of things that it, you know, they're just kind of inbuilt and taken for granted in, say, like Red Hat 9, you actually have to go out and get for Fedora. And it's not, I mean, it's not that big a deal, but it's just, there are subtle reminders that you are not really dealing with Red Hat. And then there are the subtle reminders that you are dealing with Red Hat, such as the fact MP3s don't play on it unless you, you know, make XMMS work, unless you get the two libraries and copy them in, because you can't get the old RPM that would do it for you, because Red Hat 9 RPMs don't work in Fedora. So you actually have to go and get the tarball of the two libraries. You have to actually move them into the inputs plugin directory for XMMS. I mean, there's a lot of things.
So this is not Red Hat 10.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I could say is this is not Red Hat 9.1. It is not Red Hat 10.
An infant distro.
Is its own distro that just happens to have a little red hat as the launcher.
It's got the Blue Curve look, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it's actually a lot prettier than Blue Curve.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bonus, because I never liked Blue Curve. This is kind of disturbing. I mean, where all the developers, all the packages that have been written for Red Hat and everything, it's almost like a standard anymore. It's like it's going away. You know, are people going to continue to develop for Red Hat? Are they going to continue to make their RPMs and their packages for Red Hat, even though they're going to the enterprise world only? Or are they going to move to Fedora? Boy, I hope they go to Fedora.
Yeah.
If not...
A little worried.
Yeah, me too. What other things have you found? Yeah, I remember, you know what? I know the name of the program you were talking about that you couldn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rhythmbox.
Rhythm Box. That's my dog right there.
Tell everybody about Rhythm Box.
Okay, there's a program called Rhythm Box that comes with Fedora. And it is actually the default program for MP3 files and also for MP3 streams like Rant Radio. The problem is, it doesn't play MP3s either. And it doesn't play MP3 streams. So you tell it to play it, and it just sits there and, you get a couple of errors. At first, it'll just sit there and connect ad infinitum. Or you'll get, no spider element found. And that's, you actually have to read to figure out that spider element means MP3 decoder. So it's just...
Oh, you didn't know that? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I never claimed to know my shit. I didn't know that spider element meant MP3 decoder.
What a horrible error message.
Yeah.
And did you fix it?
No, because I couldn't fix it because I couldn't find any development for that program.
Yeah, this is this doesn't bode well for Fedora.
No, I'm not... See, I really want to toe the party line and say that I'm happy with Fedora, but I'm just not.
I can tell you're not.
And I want so badly to be happy with Fedora, but it's just not happening.
You know, I'm sticking with Red Hat 9.
That's a good call.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You talked about maybe going to Slack 9.1.
Here's the thing. I've never got to use Dropline GNOME. And I hear that Slack 9.1, that's what they use, is Dropline GNOME. And I'd really like to... I'm probably going to... Because this box is about done for anyway. I am done beta testing Fedora. I'm going to put something back on it. I'm downloading 9.1 on the other box as we speak. I'll burn it and put it on here. And really, because I just want to use Dropline. It sounds really cool, and I'd really like to use it. So we're going to do that. And then, if I like that, hang out with it. If not, go back to my old buddy, RH9.
There we go. Yeah, Slip Mode from In the Now has told both of us about the joys of Dropline GNOME. So I can't wait to get a review of that. Maybe we can get Slip on the show, too. We can both talk about it.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, very much so. Wow. I actually downloaded... Yeah, here's a note to somebody, to everybody as well. I started downloading Fedora this weekend, and I went to the closest, fastest mirror, and it was Oregon. And it was 2 hours for the first ISO, and I said, screw this. Got BitTorrent and used that, and I got all three ISOs in 2 hours. So if you're going to grab it, use BitTorrent, please. And then, of course, I left it on all day to give back, so... Use BitTorrent and leave it running after you download it. I'm still going to try it. I'm going to give it a shot as well. I got a test box here. Slack 9, then Red Hat 7.3, and now we're going to go to Fedora. I think that's next. I don't know. I just want to experience it. I want to see what it's like. And I'm going to... I don't know. It's a little scary. You know it? Isn't it? Is it just me, or is it just... I think it's a little scary. I mean, this is just a huge change in the Linux community. You know, the big, the one, Red Hat, has changed so much. I've read things about their end-user license agreement, or whatever they call it, their terms of service. I don't know what they're calling their licensing. That they can look at your computer, or, you're paying the cheapest is $180... for a year subscription to their network. What happens if you dump, you just pay $180, you take a year, and that's it? After that, you want to support it yourself. Can you continue to? Does the license say? I don't know. I haven't read it. But this is a big, big change. And you're right, Blaine. You can't fault them for wanting to make money. You can't. I'd like to try the Enterprise Workstation, or whatever they call their Buck 80 distro. I'd like to try it. We'll see. I don't know. I think it's a big change. Hopefully it's a hopefully it is a step forward for Linux, right? For open source.
Yeah, I'm just really scared.
Yeah, me too.
I'm scared for the fate. Well, I'm not really, because if all the money is the enterprise and Red Hat goes and they do the enterprise thing and they make tons and tons of cash, that's great. God bless them. You know, I'm happy to have helped them get there. But I want my Red Hat, damn it.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, why couldn't they have just given 9? Here's 9. Take 9. And run with that. You know? Well, obviously, because they want to rip out the good stuff and give us the developmental stuff, and good luck. I don't know. Yeah, I think for the betterment of all Linux, to get it, to give it legitimacy, to get it on more desktops, maybe this is the way to go. But Red Hat is such a good distro, and I've got 2 still. I've got 2 box distros. I've had more. But I still kept 7.3 and 9, which were the best. Until 9, 7.3 was the best distro ever. I actually skipped 8. And I didn't hear good things about 8. So I'll keep them. And I support, you know, I tried to support them. Apparently it wasn't enough, so.
Yeah, my $80, I guess, wasn't enough either.
Yep. Oh, well. Hey, man, we did what should be done. You know?
Yeah.
You appreciated a product and you supported them. Because, you know, you don't have to with that. I think not enough people did.
Yeah, I guess if enough people would have paid for it, then maybe we would have got at least a 9.1 out of them.
Yep. Oh, well, the era. Wow, thank you very much for that review.
Hey, no problem.
And I'm not going to review it again, but I still want to check it out. Little somber ending the RFA, but a damn good review of Fedora. So I hope you listened to this before you checked it out, because you might be surprised. You probably will be surprised. So, for ZapperLink, I am Duel Bland.
Yes, I am Bland.
Thank you as always.
Always a pleasure.
Help me out with that PWF this weekend, will you?
Oh, most definitely.
Thank you very much. Everybody, stay tuned to RFA. Later.